Acts chapter 3. Now, Peter and John came into the temple at the hour of prayer, which was the ninth hour. And there was a man who was lame, that means he couldn't walk, from his mother's womb. That is, he had been born like that. He'd never been able to walk. And he was carried, and they laid him every day at the gate of the temple. The gate was called the Beautiful Gate, to ask money from those who entered into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he immediately asked them for money. Peter looked at him, and along with John, he said, "Look at us." And he paid attention to them. He was hoping, of course, to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold. But what I have, that I will give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." So you see how poor the early Christians were, that one of the greatest leaders of the Christian church, Peter, could say to a beggar, in all truthfulness, "I don't have silver and gold." He was not a rich man. And so this is really typical of how God works, through the poor, through the humble. And that is his style. But the greatest riches is not silver and gold. It is the work of Jesus in your life. So Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles received strength. And he jumped up, he leapt, he stood up, and he began to walk. He entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and leaping and praising God, and they remembered that it was he who had been sitting begging at the Beautiful Gate of the temple, because he'd been there for a long time. And Jesus, you know, must have walked past him and had chosen not to heal him. And you see, sometimes God, through his son Jesus, doesn't all do what we think he should. We would have thought, "Well, go on, Jesus, why didn't you heal him?" But he left that job for Peter and John to do. And so there are some things that he leaves for us to do. So they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to this man. And as the lame man who'd been healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them into Solomon's porch, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he said to the people, "You people of Israel, why are you so amazed about what's happened to this man? Why are you looking on us as if by our own power or godliness we'd made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and delivered over to Pilate when Pilate wanted to let him go. But you denied the holy and the righteous one and asked for a murderer, Barabbas, to be given to you. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses." So what you see there is these men, Peter and John, saying, "We don't want the glory. We want all the glory to go to God and to Jesus. And this is how we should be." And so they go on preaching. "It's by faith in his name," that's the name of Jesus, "that this man has been made strong, whom you see and know." He'd been sitting there probably for years. "Yes, the faith which is through him," through Jesus, "has given him this wonderful health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that in ignorance you did it, as also did your rulers. But the things which God before had prophesied by the mouth of all the prophets, that the Christ, the Messiah, should suffer, he has fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted." That is, let God work in your life to change you, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of him will come from the presence of the Lord, and he will send the Christ, who has been appointed for you, even Jesus, who must be received in the heavens until the time of restoration of all things, of which God, through the mouth of all his holy prophets, has been speaking about since the world began. So you see, we repent. We say that we're sorry. We're baptized. We're converted. God, through the Holy Spirit, works in our hearts and minds then to change us. and our sins will be blotted out finally for all time when Jesus comes back and we are led into God's kingdom. And then he goes on, Moses indeed said, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you from among your brothers like unto me. Him shall you listen to in all things, whatever he shall tell you. So then the prophet like unto Moses, who was to be raised up, was Jesus. And he says that he will be raised up from among your brothers. So then this is another evidence that Jesus really was not God. He had human nature. And he goes on, and it shall be that every person who will not obey that prophet will be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who followed after him, as many as have prophesied, they all spoke of these days. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant, the promises which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed, that's Jesus, will all the families of the earth be blessed. Unto you, that is the Jews, first of all, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away each one of you from your sins. So God's relationship with his people is very personal. That he wants to turn away each of us from our sins, because each person has got different sins. And the whole process of being turned away from our sins is part of this blessing that has been promised. God wants to bless us, and that blessing is not getting you rich or healthy. It is in turning us away from our sins, each of us. So one person might have a problem with tantrums, another with being lazy, another with being selfish, or whatever all our different weaknesses are. And those weaknesses, God will turn us away from them if we accept him and his son and we're baptized.